Wintrust Business Lunch with John Williams here, and now Jared Dillian, the best-selling financial author of No Worries, How to Live a Stress-Free Financial Life, No BS Approach that Challenges the World of Personal Finance. Yeah, here's a challenging idea today. Jared, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You you're a pretty smart numbers guy, but I know you are also thinking these days about the ways we analyze our investments, and you say sentiment should matter too. What are you talking about here?
Yeah, what I'm basically talking about is the idea that when people are really, really excited about a stock or an index or an ETF or something, you should probably avoid it. And when people are really pessimistic about a stock or an index or an ETF, you should probably buy it. Generally, I mean, look, there's a million ways to make money in the market. This is what I've done my entire career. I buy things when nobody else wants them. It was kind of funny because in the break, y'all were talking about the Gap, which, which was close to bankruptcy a couple of years ago. That was actually a pick of mine, and it's done very, very well. So, you know, really the goal is to buy low and sell high. And I think most people try to buy high and sell higher, you know, like what's going on with NVIDIA right now and Bitcoin and stuff like that. And that's usually a recipe for disaster.
So you wouldn't be buying NVIDIA now?
No. In fact, I actually tried shorting it a couple of months ago, and it worked for a little while, and I broke even. But... No, I mean, it is the biggest company in the world by market cap. I mean, the earnings are growing at about 100% per year. But as you saw with the last earnings report, even that was already priced in. So
right.
I think that's a little bit consensus at this point.
I'll talk to you more about this idea of sentiment versus the numbers per se. But just since we're talking about NVIDIA, NVIDIA's going to be here for a long time, right? And the things that it's selling are going to things that are going to be here for a long time. You just think that it's not undervalued, that it's not a buying opportunity, right?
NVIDIA is trading at 34 times sales. And anytime a company gets to about 10 times sales, it becomes really, really hard for that company to meet or exceed estimates for what they're going to be. And NVIDIA is trading orders of magnitude above that. It's one of the most expensive stocks I've ever seen. I mean, like I said, it is growing very quickly, but it is still very expensive.
I just wish, you know, you had told me about this 2 years ago. NVIDIA.
What, with NVIDIA? Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, NVIDIA has been around for a while. It's been around for about 15 years, and it didn't do much the first 10 years of its life. And then it had a bull market based on GPUs on Bitcoin mining. And then there was about a 75 or 80% drawdown in 2022. So even if you had the foresight to buy NVIDIA 15 years ago, you would have had to withstand a massive drawdown in between, which not a lot of people can do.
You say that we should value sentiment, too. And you just a minute ago referenced, you know, when everybody's selling, you're buying and vice versa. And I've heard that theory before, but I think you're talking about something other than just that. To me, sentiment means gut feelings or anecdotal stuff that I hear on the street. Talk more about the value of sentiment when I'm sort of evaluating my investments.
Yeah, I mean, there's that old story about from the 1920s about getting stock tips from the shoeshine boy, you know, anecdotes like that. I remember in 1999, I had a cab ride in San Francisco, and I was carrying my book called Options Pricing and Volatility, and the cab driver leaned around and said he had the same book. You know, that would have been a pretty good sign in 1999. You know, these anecdotes pile up. You know, I call them sentiment signposts. You know, the Hawk Tua girl was actually, she put out a video yesterday, the day before, pitching Bitcoin. You know, when somebody, I'm just making assumptions here. I'm assuming she's not very sophisticated about crypto, but when somebody like that, starts putting out recommendations on trades, it's time to run the other way.
Yeah, right. Although, okay, let's pause here because I want to talk to you more about that. I thought that the idea was that if the cab driver or somebody who maybe is not a sophisticated investor, I don't mean to denigrate cab drivers. I'm not a sophisticated investor. But if it's not a logical place to go for that information, but it's on the street, then maybe you should pay attention to that. And I think there are some examples of that. But how is that different than what you just said? Jared Dillian, the best-selling financial author of No Worries, How to Live a Stress-Free Financial Life, is back on the Wintrust Business Lunch. 1221, Jared Dillian is talking to us, the best-selling author, the money guy, about managing your investments and the difference between some of the fundamentals and just the sentiment that you feel about certain things. By the way, Jared, you know, as we're talking about this, a lot of us aren't stock pickers anyway. You know, we're just arranging a pie chart with bonds or stocks. Maybe we're deciding if we want small cap or international. But I wonder how I could apply what you're talking about here to something that's as broad brushed as that is.
Well, you absolutely can. I mean, when I was 23 years old and I was picking out mutual funds for the first time, it was 1997, and I had a copy of Money Magazine, and there were, you know, these tables of hundreds and hundreds of mutual funds.
Yep.
And at the time, they had science and technology funds. And I looked, and the returns in these funds were like 30 or 40%. And then they had value funds where the returns were like 5% or 8%. And keep in mind, I didn't have any education about business or finance. I didn't know anything. But my logic at the time was that the value funds would revert to the mean and that the technology funds were overpriced. And that ended up being true. Throughout 2001 to 2003, the value funds actually did exceptionally well, and it saved me from catastrophic losses during the dot-com bust. So this doesn't just work for stocks. This works for sectors. It works for small, medium, large. It works for style. It works for countries. It works for everything.
So where does the smart money go now then? What's the one that's going to revert to the mean now?
I mean, this is really my opinion, but I think healthcare is. Healthcare stocks have had an incredible run going back to 2009 or 10 when Obamacare was implemented. The health insurers have had an incredible run. Most recently, the weight loss drugs, Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk and those related stocks. I just from a fundamental or political standpoint, you know, you have somebody who's going to be an HHS secretary who is openly hostile to pharmaceutical companies, you know, talking about restricting advertising, talking about all kinds of things like could be very negative for healthcare. So I think that's one that could revert to the mean.
What about the other way? Is there something that maybe fossil fuels, because green energy might take a hit too if it was just, you know, predicated on the politics of the next 4 years? I wonder what would be ripe right now.
Yeah, I mean, fossil fuels is kind of a question mark because obviously the regulatory environment is going to be much more favorable. But, you know, if we start producing even more energy in the U.S., I mean, there's a chance that, you know, we'll flood the market with oil and natural gas, and you'll see oil prices go down into the 60s or 50s. So, energy is a little bit of a question mark, but that's definitely a possibility.
Let's just go back to your premise, though, that you should pay attention not just to the fundamentals, excuse me, but the sentiment. If your Uber driver says, hey, I'm hearing about something from all of my passengers, you should pay attention to that, right?
So what I think about in these situations is the way in which information travels. And I think about, am I one of the first people to be getting this information or am I one of the last people to be getting this information? And if you're getting it in the back of a cab, chances are you're probably one of the last people to get this information.
Okay, right. Then now it's too late, yeah.
It's too late, yeah.
Well, I wonder what some of those little portals are. I remember, I forget what the product was, but it was somebody like you, smart money person, and they said that their kids were suddenly buying a sneaker or gravitating to a fashion and a trend. And where did you hear about that? Oh, all the kids are talking about it on Facebook. This was back years ago. And so then the guy said, oh, we got to put money in that because, what, my kids are doing it? But the teenagers had their ear to the ground, at least in that space. And so that would be a good way to sort of see it coming before everybody else in the market does. You are talking about something like that, right?
I am, actually. There is an investor. I cannot remember his name. He's a private investor, but he claims to have made over $80 million investing off of TikTok. And what he does is he searches for things like sold out on TikTok, products that have sold out very quickly.
Right.
And he's done extremely well doing that.
Okay, but then one last thing, Jared Dillian, the best-selling author of No Worries, How to Live a Stress-Free Financial Life. Okay, I'll pay attention to the fundamentals, but I get what you're saying. Do you have any good advice for me on how to do that? What's the exercise I'm going to use to make me a better sentimental investor?
You know, I use social media a lot. I use Twitter a lot. I don't know how much you use Twitter. Twitter is a gold mine for sentiment information. If you see about a tweet, if you see a tweet about a stock or an index, you evaluate it in terms of who is tweeting it, what are their motivations, how far are you along in the information chain.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people that I could do without Bloomberg, but I couldn't do without Twitter. I need Twitter to invest. So,
what's your thought about crypto?
Well, I think the sentiment is extremely hot in the short term. I actually saw recently that there's a wallet app that is the number one app on iTunes right now, which is a pretty good sentiment indicator. I think it pulls back about 15 or 20% from here. The fundamentals are pretty good. I mean, if you think with Gary Gensler gone and the Republicans taking over, the regulatory environment is going to get a lot better. Options were just listed on one of the Bitcoin ETFs. So it is pretty bullish in the long term, but in the short term, I think it pulls back quite a bit.
We got to go. What website do you want people to click on if they want to read more of your stuff, Jared?
Have them go to jareddillianmoney.com.
J-A-R-E-D, jareddillianmoney.com.
Yep.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for your help today. Our next guest was scheduled to be on the Business Lunch with us today. Carl Prouty is the tech expert over at Apt. Carl, welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
And I'm doing real well, thanks. And as we all know, Apt is that giant superstore of consumer electronics and goods, everything from TVs to grills and watches and washing machines and computers. And I have been complaining lately about my parents' television. I'm frustrated for them that it's hard to navigate. And then my producer, Pete, goes, well, Carl's coming on. Let's ask him. So I want to get to that in a minute. And if you've got questions, 312-981-7200, and maybe we can answer your questions as well if you call right now. But since this is the beginning of the real serious shopping season for some folks, Carl, in your world, what are some of the top sellers? What are some of the hot products this season?
Well, the first one that comes to mind, Sony has a Fortnite edition of their PlayStation 5. And PlayStation 5 is always, well, their PlayStation devices are always huge during the holiday season. And Fortnite is still an incredibly popular game. So they have this, and it's discounted a lot, too. It's $424 for the package. So each dealer got a limited amount of them. So those are going to be one that if you have a kid who's into Fortnite and who likes PlayStation, that's going to be one you're going to want to jump on really early.
Yeah. I'm not into that, and I don't even know what you just said, but I know about it. But can I just buy the game, or is it the console? Are they the same thing? Explain that to me.
So the PlayStation 5, that's the console itself. The Fortnite bundle is basically the Fortnite game with it. And it's just got some little extras that come in the box. But it's just overall, it's a good deal for even just the PlayStation 5. But you get those little extras with it that make it an even better deal.
But if I already have a PlayStation console, do I need to get the new PS5? Can I just buy the game?
You can just get the game. Yeah, the game. You don't have to have the PlayStation 5 to get the game. So that's they sort of come as a package this way. But if you already have a PlayStation 5, you can download the game.
Talk about Ring products like the doorbell cameras and that jazz.
Mm-hmm. Those are great. Those are popular throughout the year. But they have their entry level model on sale for $59 it's on sale right now. So it's already a great deal, and that's going to be running through the Black Friday weekend. And if you order a lot of stuff online and you have packages dropped off at your front door a lot, these are great to have. I have one on the front of my house, and it comes in handy all the time. You can see who's dropping stuff off. You can see who's at your door, even if you're not home, and you can talk to them through it too. So if you're out and, you know, a relative stops by, you can tell them, hey, I'm out at dinner right now, but I'm going to be home in 5 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever. And they can wait around for you, or they can, you know, go on with their day. But it's just a great model to keep you safe and see what's going on around your house.
Seems to me like the downside with those things is a crime prevention tool. You can see who committed the crime, but they can still steal your package, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, we had somebody stop by our house and take both of our bowls of Halloween candy a couple of years back, and we watched it happen, and nothing you can do about it, unfortunately. But at least if it's an expensive package, and you know, if it's somebody who's done it frequently, if enough people have this person, you know, on their cameras, you could hopefully put together a little better case to try and find them.
Plus, a lot of times you don't know if the package has arrived or not. At least you will know what happened, and that's half the battle right there. And so you pair the camera with your phone, and that's how you interact with it, right?
That's right, yeah. You can check it anytime, anywhere, as long as you have internet.
What's new with laptops? And are desktops even a topic these days, or is it all about laptops and tablets?
Yeah, no, desktops are really popular with gamers because you can put more stuff inside of them that's higher powered, so you can play these really graphically intensive games on desktops. So we still sell a ton of those. Apple just came out with their new Mac Mini, and those have been selling great. People love their Apple products, and that's actually one of the products that is currently on sale through Black Friday weekend is the MacBook Air. Apple's doing a promotion where it's up to $250 off some of these models, which makes them a really, really good value because their computers last a long time. So you buy one now, and you'll be able to use it for the next 5-6 years and not have to worry about things slowing down and, you know, not staying up to date. It's going to be relevant for longer than a lot of other brands' computers.
What's the price range on those?
So those are going to be around $844, and then they go up to several thousand. But you can get into one at a much more reasonable price point now than at any other time during the year.
What about phones? What's going on there?
Phones, they don't do a whole lot for phones. Some brands will offer a little bit off. Some carriers will offer a little bit off for the holidays, but nothing too out of the ordinary with cell phones.
Yeah, I mean, even though you guys are this extraordinary volume dealer and you have great service and great people, the phone business is kind of the same. At least this has been my observation at most places. Is that true?
It is. It's you're going to see similar deals everywhere you go. And the advantage of coming here is that you have super knowledgeable and super friendly people to talk to, and we offer free lifetime technical support. So if you do buy a phone from us and you're having issues with it, you can call us. You don't have to call the carrier and wait for an hour on hold. You call us and you get somebody on the phone right away. So we're here to help people with the stuff that they buy from us.
You guys have Citizen watches and those are on sale. I love me some watches. What's new there?
So theirs are going to be, most of them are going to be 30% off. There are a couple models that are even more off. But Citizen they make great quality watches and they don't cost an arm and a leg. So if you do have somebody in your life that is a watch person, I'm a huge watch person. I love watches. It's a great way to give them a gift that's going to look really good and be functional and just really kind of set an outfit off. And they look great and they work really well.
In the exercise workout world, there's Pelotons and those things that you move your arms back and forth. I forget what they call. What's new there in the physical fitness space?
Sure. Well, yeah, that's definitely something people look into towards the beginning of the year. Nordic Track is one of the big ones. They're similar to Peloton in that they offer the classes that you can watch on the screens. But we have a treadmill that's going to be on sale for $9.99, which is, I believe, $250 off of its normal price, which it's a great deal. Even if you don't sign up to do all of the classes, you still have a great quality treadmill that you can use all year round, even if it's snowing outside like it was the other day.
I want to talk to you about TVs after a quick break here. But just give me the headline. What's new in the TV space?
Lots of big TVs and lots of really good deals going on for the Black Friday through Cyber Monday weekend.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at here 65, 77, 83-inch TVs. That would almost be life-size, it would seem to me. You have a 98-inch TV. Let's see. I am 6 foot tall. That's 72 inches. This mm-hmm. is 2 feet bigger than me. Okay. And you know what I want to ask you about now. If I'm buying it for me, my kids, or my mom and dad, I'm the sandwich generation. I'm in the market for all three family members. Talk to me about navigation. Talk to me about ease of use. Talk to me about brightness and pixelating in just a minute. It's 12:45 on WGN. Carl Prouty's been at App since 2002. He knows this stuff. He's their resident technologist. We'll pick it up there in a minute. First, the Business Minute now with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A Dallas-based developer is planning a new business park in Merrillville that could create up to 800 new jobs. It's the same developer that brought in a giant Amazon distribution center. The 63-acre business park site is located at the southwest corner of East 73rd Avenue and Mississippi Street. The project would include three buildings with a price tag of about $70 million for construction. Depending on the tenants who move in, the business park could create between 240 and 800 jobs. A new report says Northfield-based Medline Industries could raise more than $5 billion in an initial public offering expected next year. Medline is owned by private equity groups, and Reuters reports the IPO could happen in the second quarter of next year. The medical distribution company is said to be in early-stage talks with banks about an IPO that could value Medline at $50 billion. The company has more than $21 billion in annual sales. I'm Steve Brzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
12:52, Carl Prouty's on the line. He is the technologist over at Apt. He's telling us about all sorts of products and deals and tech stuff. What's the best TV value out there right now, Carl? What would you say about that?
Well, there's lots of good values out there. It really depends on what your budget is. So for me, I was actually helping one of my cousins out this morning, and he was looking for a TV that was really bright and sort of on the nicer side, but not necessarily the nicest. And Sony has one called a Bravia 7, and the 65-inch is on sale for $13.98 right now, which is a phenomenal value. It's an incredible picture on that TV, and it's kind of got all of the best technology built in. It's a mini LED TV, so you get a really bright picture, and it's really vibrant, and it's $500 off right now, which is an amazing deal.
Wow. LED, are all TVs LED now or no?
No, not all of them. So there's LED is a lot of them, and then OLED is not quite an equal portion, but a similar amount. And OLED, you're going to get deeper black levels because each pixel can turn on and off by itself. This is a little techy. But then an LED uses slightly bigger LEDs to illuminate the picture, so you don't get quite as deep of black levels, but still, they're both amazing TVs.
I've heard that described, deeper black levels. That's desirous in a TV?
It can be. Yeah, it depends on the person. Everyone sort of has their own preference, but it sort of gives you that more movie theater-like feel, I guess you could say. It just gets, when you're watching something with heavy shadows on the screen, it just gets a little darker and makes everything kind of stand out a little bit more.
I see.
On the other side, though, they don't get quite as bright as an LED TV can. So some people prefer a really bright, vibrant picture. And OLED doesn't get quite as bright. LED doesn't get quite as dark.
You sent my producers notes about the values of TVs, and there's names like Samsung there, and the costs are anywhere from $600 to $2,500. I guess it just depends on how big and how bright you want it to be. But I want one that's just easy to navigate for my folks. What do you recommend for that?
Sure. There's LG has a what would be considered now a very basic model. It's a UT7570 series, and that is it comes with a basic remote. So you have a little number pad on it, and then you have some arrows, and you have your volume up and down and your channel up and down. So it's going to feel like a very traditional remote to use, and it doesn't have all the bells and whistles that can sometimes get a little confusing to somebody who isn't as familiar with smart TVs, but it still has some smart features in it. So if they wanted to use Netflix, for example, they have it there on their TV, and it's,
right.
It'll be easy for them to find and easy for them to set up.
Well, you absolutely want a smart TV, right? In other words, it interfaces like a computer, right? You want to have that, right?
Correct. And it's almost you almost can't even find a TV that
right,
isn't a smart
right,
TV
right.
anymore. Some of them are just a little more scaled down, which is better for people who aren't quite as tech savvy.
Bill Murdoch, our engineer, showed me a TV on our floor yesterday or the day before, and it had, I think it was LG, and the remote control acted like a pointer, and you would just point to the thing you want and click. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, that's their magic remote. I actually have one of those TVs at home myself. I really like LG TVs. But yeah, you can use it like a pointer. It makes it easier. It can make it easier to type things in. There is a little bit of a learning curve with getting the pointer figured out. But it makes it easier to type things in if you're going to search for a video on YouTube or if you're going to type in a movie name to search for. It makes it easier to do that and kind of navigate through the menus.
You guys are busy these days, I'll bet, huh, Carl?
Oh, yeah. Very, very busy.
Between now and forever. Carl Prouty is the technologist over at Apt, ABT. He's been there a while, and we'll call you on again before Christmas gets here. But thanks for the help today, Carl.
Absolutely. Always happy to be on.